All right, so when Hilko's, I'm sorry. Okay, we're in Hilko's Tefillin, Parag Gimel, Halacha Yagimel. So we're still talking about the ritzuos, the straps, and this entire parak really deals with the construction of Tefillin. Next parak, we're going to get into how to put on Tefillin. All right, so Halacha Yagimel says, Umachnis ritzua, shel rosh betover shalav. So when you're dealing with the Tefillin shel rosh, you run the strap through the handle. Right, so if you recall, if you've seen Tefillin, obviously the back of it, there's the area, like that little indented part where the strap goes through. Umakif midas rosho v'kosher keshem ruva kamindalis. So, and what's the circumference have to be? Around the size of your head. So you, when you buy your Tefillin, you're supposed to get it measured, right, to fit your head, and then you end up putting a knot that looks like a dalet. This is always a very famous line. The kesher zeh. Tzarech kol tamachachem lamdo. All right, so every wise person must learn it. V'efshar lehodia tzuraso bichtav ela b'riyas ayin. You can't teach it by writing down, right? Rather, you have to see it. So it's a funny thing. Like, this knot is the kind of knot that there's no way to describe it. Meaning, you couldn't write it down in a manual for knots and know how to do it. Rather, the way to learn it is to really see it. Which, by the way, is sometimes as a concept. Isn't such a crazy idea. Sometimes we operate better based on seeing something experientially than just simply a list of instructions. But when it comes to the tying the knot, first of all, it's a chiyuv. Every Talmud Chacham has to know that. In fact, if I remember correctly, the Gemara says, like, what makes a Talmud Chacham stand apart? One of them is he knows how to tie this type of knot. And that the way to learn it is you have to learn it being taught it. You can't learn it from like a book. You have to see it in action. V'chein b'shal yad, kosher kesher k'min yud. Now the yad's obviously different, as we know. I'm sorry? So the kesher shal yad is different, okay? That's like a yud. And we know, utiyah ritzua shal yad olav yoredes b'toch ha-kesher, k'desh yarchiv yiksar v'esh yitzel l'kshar al yado. So as we all know, at least the guys know, that whereas the tefillin shal rosh, the knot locks in the circumference. So once you tie that knot, you can't really make the tefillin. You can't change the size of the ritzuos. They're fixed unless you undo the knot. But by the yad, the way that's set up, it's set up as a type of knot that when you put it on, right, you have the ability to loosen it and tighten it, right? So the yad was set up because you have to get it onto, as you'll see soon, onto your arm, and you tighten it onto your arm. So that kind of knot, this type of knot, is the one that allows that to take place. Okay, so lach yadalet, haritzuos shel tefillin. Okay, now this is also interesting. Bein shel rosh, bein shel yad. Now, what we have to keep in mind before we see this is that that naturally the color of tefillin, right, of the leather and the straps is not black. I think we all know that. In other words, the leather it could be greenish or brownish, but it's not black initially. Okay. So what he's going to now explain is the ritzuos of the tefillin. Okay, whether the tefillin shel rosh or shel yad, the straps, the outside of the straps must be black. The zulach l'moshe m'sinai. Okay. So the halacha Moshe Mishinai is that the outside of the straps must be black. That means the side that you see, right? Meaning, in other words, when I'm wearing them, right? Let's say I lay the straps down against my chest. So the side that a person looking at me sees, that's the outside. Aval achorei haritzuos, right? But the inside of the straps, which is, let's say, the side that's facing me, ho mefnim heim, since they're inside. Im hayurukos o levanos ksheros. They could be green or white, meaning they could be the natural color of the leather, which is what most people do. Most people, if you ever look at the inside of your tefillin straps, you'll notice that they are the color of whatever the straps were. They aren't treated with any color. You don't want to make them red, okay? Because if it flipped around and someone saw the red, so I think Rashi mentions it because it would be associated with blood or that somehow you're bleeding onto the ritzuos. But the point is, it's a gnai. It's degrading to have what do you call it, the inside of the ritzuos be red. But otherwise, it doesn't matter what color they are. The lo ya chorei haritzuol olam elak ena ktsitza imiruka yirukin vim levana levanam. In general, right? What you really want is the color of the ritzuos to match the color of the leather of the of the batim. So therefore, v'noyhu l'tfilin shu kulan shchuros haktitza v'rtzua kula. And that's why the Rambam brings down that it's considered beautiful. It's a hidur if your tefillin straps are black on the inside and on the outside. Now, the Beis Yosef and others bring down, that never really took off, but there are a few people out there who do that, who, when they get their tefillin done, costs like an extra 50 shekels. Basically, the outside is obviously black, and then the inside is also dyed black as well. Okay, halacha tesvav. Ha'or shemechapim v'bat tefillin. Okay, osin mimena haritzuos. So the leather, the skin that's used to wrap the tefillin, and that you make the ritzuos from, okay, hu or shel behemel chaya of hatahorim. So they're made from kosher animals, and they don't need to be shechted properly. Right. So obviously, if you used it from a tummy animal, or you didn't use what do you call it, leather, it's possible. And the ritzua is also required to be treated l'shem tefillin. Interesting. But if you the or that is that covers the what do you call it, the tefillin, right? That part does not require ibud at all. Afilo saw matzah kasher, which means doesn't mean matzah like matzah. It means like a thin type of leather. Mekomos harbe nagu losod osim bor matzah. So they would use. It's common to use like a thinner type of leather. But the point is that you do need ibud lishma when it comes to the ritzuos. That's critical. Okay, halacha tezayin. Inos and a tefillin el yisrael shas yasam kachasivasan. Interesting. So only a Jew can make tefillin, because making it is like writing it. Why? Mipnei ashin she'osim ba'or. Because of that one shin, right? That shin that you make, okay? So, which only a Jew could write, okay? So that's what makes it chayiv now only for a Jew to do. K'mo she'amarnu. L'fikach im chifan ha'kusi, right? So therefore, if a kusi, or in this case, we'll call it a guy, went ahead and covered over the, you know, basically assembled the tefillin, or tofron, or stitched it together, psulos. So any psul that exists by writing extends as well as to making tefillin. Okay, Allah Yitzayin, tefila shal rosh. Okay, ain osin osa shal yad. The shal yad osin osa shal rosh. Okay, so when you have your tefillin shal rosh, now remember I mentioned in the beginning of the first parak that there's a tension that exists with tefillin. Are they two mitzvos or are they one mitzvah? Clearly they're listed as two mitzvos. On the other hand, as you'll see here and later on, there's some type of relationship they have one to the other that demonstrates that they're not really two separate mitzvahs. So here's a good example. Tefillah shel rosh, ein osin osa shel yad. So you can't take your tefillin shel rosh, okay, and then let's say you decide you want to make it into tefillin shel yad. But from the yad, right, osin osa shel rosh, you can take the yad and transform it into the rosh. Why? L'vishayim merod marina mikdusha chamor l'kdusha kala. So the tefillin shel rosh is considered more kadosh than tefillin shel yad, okay? V'chein ritzua shel tefillin shel rosh, ein osin osa tefillin shel yad. And the same thing when it comes to the straps. I can't take the straps of tefillin shel rosh and then redesignate them for use in tefillin shel yad, because that would be going down in kedusha. So you already see that somehow in that the tefillin shel rosh, whatever, which we're not going to get into here, but for whatever reason why, is considered more kadosh than the tefillin shel yad. So the Rambam says, so you can't transfer the tefillin shel rosh to tefillin shel yad. I mean, I can't transform one into the other only after I've worn them, meaning I've been koveya them. Through wearing them, I've now established a certain usage. About tefillin shel rosh, shelo lavshan adam olam, right? But when it comes to tefillin shel rosh, that was, what do you call it? If you do tefillin shel rosh, that was never worn by a person. In ratzalach zion liyad mutter. So this is before the kavias, before it's been established as tefillin shel rosh, which comes about through wearing it, right? If I haven't worn it yet, then I could, in a sense, transform the rosh into yad. The ketzad otzin, tola ala or, achitasa asa achas v'kosh al yadav. It's whatever. So you could put or over it, and you can now redesignate it that way. But the point is, the designation of tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad only emerges through levisha. It's the wearing of it that gives it its haloshem of being one or the other. Okay, Allah yurchas. Yeah, so Allah Yirchas, he says, what do you call it? Tefillin shenifsiku hatfiros shelahen. So let's say the stitches. Remember, there's stitches that go all around the bottom, the base, right? Im hayu shtei atfiros zubet sadzu, right? O shenifsiku shlosh tfiros. So if two next to each other split, or three overall split, afilu zu shelokan eganzu harei lopsulos. So that's a problem. But don't worry. That's only by old tefillin. So if by old tefillin, two stitches next to each other split, or three all around it split, So in that situation, then it would be a problem. But by new ones, right, we don't say that. Why? What are new ones? V'ilahena chadashos, kol she'ochzim mechzatz or she'nikra tafra v'tolim bo ha'tfilin v'uchazak v'eno nikras harei l'chadashos. So basically what it means is that the leather isn't fragile. Okay, when you pick it up, it doesn't flake. It's strong. I would argue today that most people's tefillin today are considered like chadashos, meaning the if you pick up the box, it's like pretty firm. It's not brittle, right? It's hard to know exactly what he means, but the point is that, and for sure that question, if any stitch has come apart in your tefillin, you should immediately get it checked and get it fixed. That's not even a question. But to say it's possible, v'im'ein ro'i lislosbo elohu nifsak aray yilishanos, right? So as long as it's filling in solid shape, it's considered chadashos. But if you have any stitches that rip, you should definitely get it checked out and fixed. Halach yotes, ritsuash and nifsaka. Now, what about a strap that splits? Okay, let's say one of the straps tears. Ein kosher nosa, right? You can't like reattach it. Vein tofer nosa. So if you rip the strap, okay, and let's say it's below the shear that's required, okay, you can't reattach it. Rather, you take the whole thing out and you make a new strap. And the leftover of the strap that you tore, achi is puzzle, achi arka rafa kashir, oh yes, or love. So you need the proper amount left. And he should always make sure the ritzua is facing out when he ties the tefillin on. So when it comes to ritzuos, if you do rip a strap, you have to make sure you can't just glue it back together. And if you don't have enough shear left of ritzua, you have to get a new ritzua and start over again. Okay, Perek Dala. Now we're going to get into how to put on tefillin and how tefillin are worn. Okay, so now comes that same more for us more practical stuff. So halacha aleph, heichan menichan tefillin shorosh. So where do you put on your tefillin shorosh? I mean, that has got to be. I'm speaking as a male. That has to be one of the you know when you first learn how to put on tefillin, that's the kind of thing that's drilled into your skull. Where to put tefillin on? And there's always this thing in shul where everybody's giving each other like the eye. You know, is your tefillin really on right? And everyone has the mirrors, you know, to make sure. So where does tefillin go? So the Rambam says menichan oso al hakodkod shehu sofa seyar. So what he's talking about is, he's talking about towards the front part of the head, around the area which is called the soft spot, right? This place where when a baby's born, there's the fusion of certain parts of the skull, right, which haven't fused completely yet. So that area which is soft, that's the area where tefillin goes, right? And it's, now, the way when I did the sugya tefillin with my guys this year, basically, in other words, but yet it says Vahil Totofos Bein Einecha, right? And as he's about to say, Vitzarech L'chavin Osam Be'emsa Kadesh Yu Bein Hainayim. So you want them to be in the middle, so they're in between your eyes, right? But where does tefillin actually go? So the tefillin shorosh really goes at what I call the top of your face. Okay, in other words, that's the best way to look at it. Meaning, if you looked at someone's face, the top point, right, which is here, is where tefillin belongs. So it's right. That's this area over here. Okay. And then where does the knot go? It goes basically at the base of the skull, which everybody uses, right? If you take your finger, there's that bulging part at the bottom part of your skull. That's what everyone uses as the guide for where the back goes, okay? The key, though, is the front, right? Okay. Right. Halacha beis, v'shol yad. Now, what about tefillin shol yad? Kosher oso al smolo. Okay, so you put it on your... We'll understand what smol is soon, but on your... I'm going to translate this the more halachic way. On your weaker arm, okay? Well, yeah, on your weaker arm. Aliki boris, v'hu abasar atofeach, right? She b'mrafek, she b'im parak, akase b'im parak azra. Okay, so it's basically your bicep, okay? It's the upper area. And if you divided your arm into two parts, right? You have your lower arm or forearm, and then your upper arm where your bicep is located, okay? It's the highest area of the upper part of your arm, which ends up being basically the top of the bicep, okay? That's where the tefillin goes, okay? And then what? Kishum adabek mrafkal etzalav shtiyat tefillah kenegel libo nimsum makayim ba'yud varim ela alavecha. Now here's the key: when you tie it, okay? So you have to tie it so that it's facing its direction when tied, it's facing towards your heart, okay? And this is right from the Gemara because it says ba'yud varim ela alavecha. So it should be facing, it should be pointing towards your heart. Now, this is also tricky. Sometimes I see people, after they tie it, it's like hanging down here. That's not correct. In other words, what you do is you tie it so that when your arm is in resting position, the tefillin is actually facing your heart. Okay, that's the position the tefillin should be in. Okay, okay. Halacha gimel. Hameniach tefillah shel yad al pas yado o shel rosh al mitzvo. Okay, so if a person decides to wear his tefillin on his hand, okay, on his palm, right, or here, right between his eyes, harei ze derech tzedukim, right. So that is the way of the Karaites, and the Gemara stresses, like, you know, the Gemara mentions that. Ha'osa tefilasa gula ke'egos ima mitzvah klal. But if a person makes his tefillin round, like a nut, there's no mitzvah there whatsoever. Okay, iter, okay, miniach tefillin bimino, shehu small shalo. So let's say you're a southpaw, okay, you're a lefty. So lefties put tefillin on their right arm, because shehu small shalo, that means it's the weaker arm. So small means weaker. It doesn't mean left-handed. It means whatever your weaker arm is. But of course, then the question is, vimhaya sholet b'shtei yadav, okay, what if someone's ambidextrous, truly ambidextrous? Now, the Rishonim take up the issue of what that means. Does that mean that he does all activities with both hands, right? Or does it mean half activities with one hand and the other half with the other? Okay, that's the machlokas that takes place among the Rishonim. You should just know that there's an actual havamina, and it's not a crazy havamina. There's an actual havamina that someone who's truly ambidextrous might be pater from tefillin, because you can argue he has no weaker arm. In other words, okay, so if a person, now as I was saying before, okay, there's an actual havamina in the Gemara, right? Well, one that we've shown him, that maybe somebody who is ambidextrous, truly ambidextrous, okay, that such a person, right, might be pater from tefillin. Because in order to have a weaker arm, it must be weaker in contrast to something else, right? Weaker means contrast. Like, well, what if a guy has no weaker arm? So the Gemara is a havamina. Oh, actually, excuse me, Tosfos is a havamina that maybe you'd say such a guy is pater. But the end, the Gemara says, right, what do you do? Miniach oso besmolo, shehu small kol adam. So the Gemara kind of takes like a weaker answer and says that in general, like the universal weaker arm by people, no offense to lefties, is the left arm. Okay. Umakom kshira satfilin, umakom anachas mipia shmua lamdom. Right. So where you tie your tefillin and where you put them on, that's all learned out from the Torah. Okay. And the Gemara explains how you darshan it out. Okay. Halachat down. Okay, now someone asked before about the nature of two mitzvahs versus one. Halacha dalet, tefillah shel rosh, eina ma'akevah shel yad, vil shel yad eina ma'akevah shel rosh. So each one can exist independent from the other. And mishen shtei mitzvah, zulatzvah. They are two separate mitzvahs. The ketzad mevarchin al shel rosh, mevarcha asher kitshanu b'savah tzivano al mitzvahs tefillin, right? Val yad mevarcha asher kitshanu b'savah tzivano l'ayach tefillin. So that sounds like what I said before was insanity. Because the Rambam clearly says there's a bracha you make on tefillin shel rosh and a bracha you make on tefillin shel yad. Okay? Except, now comes halacha, hey. But med varim morim kishinyach ach achas mehen. That's only if you're wearing one of them. Okay? So if for every reason why you were only going to wear your tefillin shel rosh, you make an al mitzvah tefillin. But, aval im hiniach shnean, but if you're going to put on both, mevarach bracha achas, vihi laniach tefillin. But if you're going to put on both, you make one bracha, and that's laniach tefillin. Vikosha shel yad, so you put on the yad, and then you put on the rosh. And when you take your tefillin off, you take your rosh off first, and then you take off your yad. Again, note from here, so Tosfos and all the Ashkenazi Rishonim flip out about this, and they say that it's clear from the Gemara that there is a bracha of al-mitzvah tefillin, and they work out why it demands such a bracha. And then the question now becomes that among the Achronim, what's really interesting is that while we paskin that way, because we paskin basically, and we know it's a machlokes, we end up saying, you know what, even though it's, we should say safik brachos lahakel, and you shouldn't say the bracha on tefillin shel rosh, we still do anyway. It's a good question. I personally do not. I just make a laniach tefillin. I do not make a bracha on my tefillin shel rosh. But getting back to the point I was making before, it's pretty clear from here, right, that there is a connection between the two. In other words, even though as actions, right, they're two separate mitzvos, right, it seems like when it comes to hanacha, which means the placement of tefillin, it's one process. So when I start the yad, I don't complete, in other words, the way I put it was that a person has to be defined as being adorned in tefillin. And adornment doesn't take place until I complete the rosh. So even though they're two separate mitzvahs, as a gavra, I would never be defined as being adorned in tefillin until my rosh is on. So I can argue that once I start with the yad, I'm not finished until I put on the rosh. Okay? Halacha vav. Now, halacha vav, he says, Mishu berech laniach tefillin, v'kasher tefillin shel yad. This we all know. I remember I learned this, like, you know, another thing drilled into your head. When you put on your tefillin shel yad, it is prohibited. Asur lo, right? It is prohibited to speak. Okay, to speak. Right, so that is actually the prime case that we learn of Hesach Hadas from. The paradigm case is the case of putting on tefillin shel yad and then talking before putting on tefillin shel rosh. You can't even answer shalom to your rebbe. Okay, v'imsach. But let's say you did talk. Harizu avera. Right, it's considered a sin, which is a direct quote from the Gemara. V'tzarach levarach bracha shniya mitzvah tefillin rachach meniach shel rosh. So that's what the Rambam says the bracha of mitzvah tefillin is used for. It's used for when you destroy the process of putting on your tefillin. So now because you create the hefsek, and now you have no choice, but what you've done by making a hefsek is you've made the maisa of putting on tefillin to rosh separate. So that's why it demands that bracha. So that's what bothers the Rishonim. The Rishonim are bothered by the idea that Chazal will construct, which is a good argument, that they would construct a separate bracha for a situation that you would only ever use in a deficiency. You understand? That's what was very odd to them. Why would you have a bracha that's set up for either if I was missing one or if I talked after putting on tefillin shel yad? It's a strange idea. Okay, let's finish with the halacha zayin. Tefillin, kol zman shemanichan, okay, mivarchalan. Every time you put your tefillin on, you make a bracha on them. V'afilu cholitz v'lovish kama pama b'yom. Even if you take them off and put them back on many times during the day. Now, again, this introduces the next principle. V'chola mitzvahs kulam mevarachalam kodum lasiyasan. This is one of the Rambam's most famous, I mean, this comes from the Gemara, one of the most famous overarching principles that he sticks to, right, throughout everything. You always make the bracha before the maisa. Years ago, I did Netilas Adayim with a bunch of you guys. Remember, the Rambam holds, you make the bracha before you wash your hands. Always over lasiyasan. Okay, lafikach. Tzarech levarach ala tefilah shel yad. Now, this is key. Therefore, you have to make the bracha of tefillin shel yad achar hanacha ala kiboras kodem kshirasan. Shekshirasan zuhi asiyasan. So, which the Gemara takes up why that's the case, but when you put on your tefillin shel yad, you don't make the bracha before I even take the strap and start laying it on my arm. You make the bracha when it's lying on your bicep right before you tie it, because the tying, the tightening of it, that is what makes it tefillin shel yad, meaning it's not functioning as tefillin shel yad until I tighten it, okay? So that's why you make the bracha right before you tighten it, and then you tighten it. Not while you're tightening it, by the way. You put it on your arm, you hold it there, make the bracha, and then tighten it. Okay.